Welcome back to our final segment of the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and today's conversation is with Dr. Carolyn Clancy, Director of the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality within the Department of Health and Human Services. Also joining us today from IBM is Janet Marchabrota. Dr. Clancy, with all of the investments we've discussed today, what are the steps to ensure we are getting value from these public investments?
So, you know, our goal is to make sure that the best information is not only easily available, but that it's almost impossible to avoid. And a lot of the ways that we work to achieve that, in addition to disseminating information through our websites and through a variety of other media, as we discussed, is actually to partner with organizations who have a bigger reach than we do. So, for example, we partner very closely with AARP because they have a huge outreach to their members and any other organizations, multiple professional organizations for physicians and other clinicians and so forth.
From our discussion, it has become clear that partnering and collaboration are critical to ARC's efforts and success. Would you tell us more about your intra or interagency collaboration with key federal agencies such as the FDA, CDC, the VA, and CMS? And just building on your response about AARP, I'm curious, since there are so many stakeholders in the healthcare industry, could you share also to what extent you partner and collaborate with perhaps others in the private sector?
I'm so glad you asked this, because literally collaboration is a huge part of our daily work. We produce information to improve healthcare, but we don't regulate care, we don't pay for it, we don't provide it directly. So we can't possibly achieve our mission without partnering with those who do either regulate care, provide it directly, or frankly, use it, as all of us do as patients. So just to give you a couple of examples from how we work with our government components, We do a great deal of work with CMS, particularly on the issue of quality of care. I was very proud of the fact that about a year ago, for the first time, everyone can see how patients think about their experience in the hospital. It's a really big deal. That information was never publicly available before. It took a few years to make that happen, but now people can actually see how other patients have reacted to their hospital stay. In addition to that, I'm very excited that the new reauthorization of the Children's Health Insurance Program has new specific provisions for quality of care. And we're taking a lead role working very closely with CMS on the first phase of that work and are very excited. And we'll be having a big open-to-the-public meeting July 22nd and 23rd in Washington, because we've created a advisory council that's a subcommittee to our overall national advisory council. And one that I just have to mention that we did with the Department of Defense is something called Team Steps. As you might imagine, the Department of Defense is acutely sensitive to the issue of turnover and needing to retrain people and so forth. So we actually created a curriculum that makes it much easier for healthcare professionals to learn how to work in teams, and in particular teams where you expect a fair amount of turnover, either because of shifts, transfers in their mission, and so forth. And recently got a huge award, and in accepting it, our partner from defense said, "We believe in this because we know that expert teams outperform teams of experts every time." We also partner with states in terms of making hospital data available, and partner with health IT organizations, the American Medical Informatics Association, many, many others. So partners are us, I guess.
So I'd like to transition to the future now. You've clearly been a leader in healthcare for some time. With all the talk about healthcare and healthcare reform, can you share with us your vision for the future of healthcare? And what are some of the key insights you would like our listeners to take away from this conversation?
Wow, that's a great question. And thank you very much, particularly for how you framed that. One of the biggest changes we saw in the 20th century was the increase in life expectancy. And I think in this country, we are actually still getting our heads around what does that mean. In practical terms, what it means in healthcare is that what's killing us are not acute diseases, but actually chronic illnesses. So for healthcare in the future, first of all, you have to be able to have access, period. I mean, this needs to be removed from the list of ongoing challenges, and I'm very optimistic that that's going to happen this year. Not going to be easy, but it's incredibly important. Secondly, people have to have confidence that wherever they go, they're going to get the best quality of care and that that care will be safe. They won't be inadvertently harmed because practitioners and organizations are always going to be vigilant to make sure that they're not inadvertently harming patients as a byproduct of trying to make them better. And the other piece of the future that I think is critical is that patients need to be in a place where they have the opportunity and the skills and support to play a more active role in their own health and healthcare. Getting to superb, dramatic improvements in chronic illness care is simply not possible without it. And it's not a matter of saying, hey, it's your problem. You're the one who has to do this. It's much more about an effective partnership between clinicians and patients, where clinicians celebrate, actually, that their patients may know more about their conditions than they do. And I think that we'll look back in a not huge number of years and say, wow, this was the year that we finally figured out how to put all the pieces together. I think this year is just incredibly exciting.
So, Dr. Clancy, with that vision, what are some of the major opportunities and challenges that your agency will encounter in the future, and how do you envision your office will need to evolve over the next, say, 3 to 5 years?
Some of the major opportunities and challenges are that while we all know that quality of care is really important, when you start to get into the details, it's pretty dense and abstract. But those details actually matter a whole lot. In addition to that, I think one of the challenges that we're seeing in quality now is if we don't make the collection of information very, very easy and something that can be easily done as part of providing care, we're going to overwhelm providers with collecting data to the point where they no longer even think about what do I do with this information, right? The point of collecting data is, frankly, to let the public know how we're doing, but also to tell us where do we need to focus our efforts on improvement. I think we very much need to build better science in terms of improving healthcare. And that can be actually a difficult message to get across, that we actually don't know how to do this better, but we understand the urgency and we need to move rapidly, but to learn and evaluate and get smarter as we do that. We know that this has been done in other industries. I don't see any reason why we can't do it in healthcare, and we will. The question is, how rapidly can we get there? So making the case for that investment has its own challenges. I try to stay away from the extremely technical details. In terms of how our work will evolve, if anything, we are going to be more tightly aligned, both with public and private sector partners, in a much more strategic way, so that I would envision over the next 5 years and beyond that our partnerships will be a routine part of our work rather than a kind of one at a time. It'll be more systematic and part of the backbone of our work, and which I think would be incredibly exciting.
Now, Dr. Clancy, you started the show with describing a decision that you made and a passion that you had at the tender age of 9 years old. And you've obviously had a very interesting and successful vocation in the field of medicine and also as a public servant. What advice might you give to someone out there who perhaps is thinking about a career either in medicine or public service, or perhaps ideally both?
I have found both to be incredibly exciting and gratifying. So anyone who's interested, I would say go for it, because there are going to be multiple possible paths, but also be open to the idea that there'll be many different opportunities. I never, ever, as a resident, would have thought I'd be doing anything like what I'm doing today. And I hear that from healthcare professionals in all walks of life. Many people have changed careers multiple times, but that's actually a terrifically good thing because you get to test different skills and so forth. So I would give them as much encouragement as possible. Let me also just say that I'm also a bit humble by this question because I originally came to ARC in late 1990 to stay for 2 years, and my expectation was I'd go back to academic medicine, and I've been there ever since, and it's been fabulous, but it always does temper my sense of being too confident when giving career counseling.
Well, that's a wonderful perspective and wonderful advice. Unfortunately, we have reached the end of our time. I do want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule. But Jen and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country, both as a physician and as a public servant.
Thank you so much. For listeners, I would encourage you about two things. One is to visit our website, which is ahrq.gov. And for those of you who really have a bug or passion for the kind of work we do, our annual meeting, which we also call Arcapalooza, will be September 13th through 16th in Bethesda, and the registration is free. Information is on our website.
Excellent. Thank you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Dr. Carolyn Clancy, Director of the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality within the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. My co-host has been Janet Marchabrota, IBM's GBS Public Sector Chief Healthcare Officer. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who may not be able to hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.